Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We are at the end of June. I can't even believe how fast this month went. Of course, the weather is just amazing. We are in summer now, and of course, July 4th, right around the corner. I mean, gosh, life is flying by, and I hope that you're enjoying your life, because that's what it's all about. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is your life, and we love to really share about life. And of course, I have comedy tickets if anybody is interested in going out and laughing, because you know that that is really, truly the best medicine. So again, our phone number here is 419-0008. We'd love to get you to some of these comedy events. Also, it was so much fun seeing all of my winners out at Caneo Food and Wine Festival, and of course, another amazing event. And of course, right here, we've got the X Games going on, and I've been seeing a lot of that. So I hope that you have lots to do. And of course, 4th of July right there. Make sure that your dogs and your animals are taken care of, that they don't get scared and run off. That's always a common thing. But again, we are so glad that you've tuned in here. And of course, I always start our show with something uplifting. And today's is, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. And life is like a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. And you only live once, as I just said. But if you do it right, once is enough. So I am really excited to bring our first guest on. And of course, Don Moore. Don Moore is an ordained metaphysical minister, a shamanic, a practitioner. How do you say that, Don? Practitioner. It's sorry.
Shamanic practitioner. Yeah.
It's just like I couldn't get that out. A teacher dedicated to helping spirits. I'm so excited to talk with you, and just so that people can live a happier life. And John believes in the interconnectedness of all beings. And we're going to find out a little bit about shamanism and actually modern shamanism. So welcome, John. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to be here with you.
Yeah, so talk to us a little bit about, first of all, who you are and how you even got here.
I know it's kind of a weird journey. I spent about 25 years working in technology. And then in my early 40s, I had a bit of a health crisis. And this is a common story for many people who come into shamanism, actually. And I've always been a very spiritual person. And I was doing all kinds of things to try to get well, talking to doctors and taking supplements and meditating. And I just, one day I was meditating and I got a very clear message. I'm not a person who hears voices or has anything like that. And I heard a very clear voice say, you need to learn shamanism. And I didn't even know really what the word meant. It startled me. And, then I thought, well, I live in the state of Maine. I live up in the far northeast, out in the middle of nowhere. How am I going to learn shamanism?
Too, by the way,
right? Like, how am I going to learn? I don't live in Peru. I'm not going to Mongolia or Siberia. And I found a teacher, and even though I had no idea what I was doing, I met with her and started my path and have healed myself. And never intended to work with other human beings, but life had other plans, and I'm doing what I absolutely love, and helping other people and teaching as well.
I love that, and I love that you are healed. Thank you. You know, that is incredible right there. You know, it's interesting, like we all have a path and sometimes we don't know what that path is. I almost like say like you're breaking through to whatever your next is in life. And obviously this was your next. What did you do before you became a shamanism or shaman?
I spent 25 years working in technology. I worked for insurance companies and large financial service companies as a computer programmer, basically. So it's kind of a weird transition. But
so different. Yeah. Wow. And so, I mean, instead of figuring out how computers work, you're figuring out how our bodies work and our minds, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where you can absolutely apply wherever you can. My teacher came from the plastics industry before she before she went into shamanism. So you can apply whatever you're creative enough, you can apply whatever you've come from before into what you're doing now.
Right. Wow. I mean, I always say I was a hair therapist. I've done hair forever, owned hair salons. Also have a construction company, and now I'm doing radio. I've been interviewing mm-hmm. people my whole entire life. So mine just flowed right into the next. And yours is like you were dissecting. You were already looking into what makes things work. So I could see where you would break through to that would be your next.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, it seems very logical. At the time, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Right, exactly.
It's where I was supposed to be, for sure.
I love that. And so do you think that anybody could learn this?
I do think, so the main tools of shamanism, I think that it is an innate capacity for human beings to do this. Some people sort of like, some people have a build to play basketball, right? I'm 5'6". I would never be on the NBA, right?
Right.
But I could learn to play basketball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think shamanism is similar. There are some people who are very well suited to it because of their mindset, because of their background, their upbringing, their life experiences, and their particular makeup. But I think the basic skills of shamanism, I have been very successful at teaching them to people from all walks of life. So I do think it is an innate ability with a little bit of training from the right teacher that people can learn.
So what are some of the practices and traditional practices that fit into our contemporary life? How does that work? Talk to us about that.
Sure. Shamanism is a multicultural thing. So there are shamanic cultures that have shamans. We think of certain Native American cultures and Mongolian cultures and South American cultures. But as far as how removing the cultural aspect of it, the main tool of shamanism is called journeying. And it's using an altered state like meditation. It's not exactly meditation, but it's similar. It's an altered state. And using that to go out and get information or to get healing. And it really does fit very easily into daily life if it's something that people do, because you can journey for 10 minutes and get a healing, or journey for 5 minutes and get a piece of information. So it's very practical. It can be very, from a spiritual perspective, it can be very uplifting and can bring wisdom and all of those things, but it can also be very, very practical.
When you say practical, like how long would it take to do a simple practice?
Anywhere from minutes to half an hour, but very short length. I mean, there's certainly some lengthy ceremonies or lengthy rituals, but very, very basic shamanic practice takes minutes.
Okay. And do you have classes? Is that how you do it?
I do teach classes from time to time. I generally teach people, most people I teach are one-on-one in a mentoring kind of situation, which works really well because I can work with people long-term, and I work with people all over the world. So I have students in Australia, in Thailand, all over the U.S. and Canada, in Europe. So it allows me to work with people remotely, whereas classes, you kind of need people all in the same place. So
Got
I do
it.
Both, but most people I teach through one-on-one mentoring.
Okay. And so throughout your day, do you just take time to kind of, you call it journey, like, or, you know, do you, like for the average person that's interested in exploring this, how would you tell them? Like, what would be the first advice that you would give somebody?
Sure. You know, I do recommend learning from a teacher. It's a little bit hard to, I mean, you could learn from, you know, you can find books and you can find recorded classes and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good idea to get with a teacher, whether you're taking a class or doing a mentorship or some other format. Learn the basic skills of journeying, which doesn't take long. It takes a few days to get all of the basics down. And
oh,
then
wow. Only
from
a
there,
few days?
Yeah, to get the basics, it only takes a few days. Now, to
okay.
become a practitioner, to become somebody who works with somebody else, I think it took me around three or four years.
Okay.
Because once you have the basic skills, it's sort of like, again, it's like playing basketball. Like I can teach you how to, you know, dribble and how to do a free throw, but to get really good at it, it's going to take some practice,
mm-hmm.
right, before you're going to jump into a game of basketball. So it's kind
right.
of the same thing. If you're working on yourself, you can learn the basics in a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. Normally an intro to shamanism class is about 2 days long. But if people want to become healers, they want to work with other people, there's some extensive training that goes into that.
Okay. And how has this changed your life? I mean, obviously you healed yourself, right? But like, how has it changed your life and others that you work
yeah.
with?
Yeah, it's a little hard to describe how life-changing the practice has been for me because I feel like I'm almost not the same person that I started
out as.
I was very sick. I was very, very sick, as are many people who start out on this path. I know lots of people who started due to chronic illness. And, you know, it's just been so uplifting. It's given me it gives you a sense of control, but also a sense of connectedness. And that's really important. We human beings, we're social creatures. We want to feel
right.
connected. And so it gives you a sense of being really plugged in, and being plugged in a deep way to nature, to the world around you, to your fellow people, even your pets. If you have pets, you can connect with them on a deeper level. So from that perspective, it completely transformed my life.
Wow. And how do you integrate shamanism with spiritual, like, and healing practices? Like, what is the, can you walk us through maybe one of the practices?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the aspects of shamanism is that shamans always work with helping spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different types of helping spirits. So we have ancestral spirits, so our ancestors that went before us. We have, many people know the term spirit animal. We actually work with what we call power animals, who are animal spirits that we work with. And so there are all kinds of spirits that we work with, and there are different goals depending on what you want to do. If you're looking for healing, if you're looking for to gain wisdom, you can have conversations with these spirits and gain information or gain learning from them. Some of them act as teachers. So this is a way to plug in. And shamanism, I should make it clear, is it's not a religion. There's no doctrine. There's no dogma. So it can fit in depending on your religious system. If you are already a spiritual person or religious or not religious, you can still practice shamanism. I know people who are Jewish or Buddhist, Christian who all still practice shamanism.
Very interesting. Okay. And so I still can't 100%, like, I was in Ecuador, and we went to a shaman, and they like, you know, like they blow smoke in your face, and, you know, like they have leaves and that kind of thing. Is that similar, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't do that, but that is part of that Ecuadorian shamanic culture. If you were to go to Mongolia, the outward ceremonies, so the ceremonies that they're doing where they're blowing smoke or they're using leaves are probably part of something called a shamanic extraction, which is common across cultures, but the outward appearance of it is going to be slightly different depending on the culture, the cultural context. So there's always, you know, there's always a cultural context with shamanism. So if you went to, you know, Scandinavia, for example, and went to a Sami shaman, they would do things in a different way, but what they're doing at its core is essentially the same thing.
Got it. Very interesting. And do you have any family that is a part of this?
I do not. This was all brand new.
How did your family, you know, respond to this?
You know, my family thinks I'm weird and always have, you know, which is fine. I think weird is cool. I love weird. I embrace weird. I come from I didn't have a very strong religious upbringing, but my family was pretty strongly involved in their various churches. So they're all doing their own thing. And I just think they think I'm that weird kid in the family.
But it's so positive for you. I mean, you've seen such incredible outcomes from it. One, your health, right? How many other people have you helped with their health?
Oh, gosh. I don't have a count. Hundreds, probably.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Over the years. Yeah, for sure. And I have clients who come to see me year after year, and I have clients who will see me once and, you know, have some relief from whatever it is they've come to me for. And, you know, it's, you know, it's all good. I have some people I see really regularly over long periods of time, depending upon what it is we're working on.
Right. And when you are helping somebody or working with somebody, are you sitting in front of them? Like, and, you know, maybe this isn't it. Like, you know, you both would be almost like meditating together so that you could help them be clear. And would that be how it would work?
Yeah. So the outward appearance, what you would see if you were to work with me, you're on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, so we would work together probably over Zoom or some other video chat. And I would, you know, I would be sitting, I would close my eyes, I drum is what I do. You would see me drumming and hear my drum. And you would be invited to just relax, meditate. We would talk a lot during a session. A typical session with me is about 90 minutes to 2 hours. A lot of that is just us talking and talking through what's going on, and there's a really important healing part that's not just typical to shamanism, but I think it's typical for any healing tradition. And that is really holding space for the other person and allowing them to be heard. So often, particularly in, you know, in the U.S., you go to see your doctor, they've got 10 minutes for you, right? Mm-hmm. You go to see your primary care physician, they may have 10 minutes to listen to you. I've got 2 hours to listen to you, listen to your story. And I'm sitting there not judging, you know, and holding space for you. That alone, if I did nothing else, that alone is healing. And people underestimate the healing power of having somebody hold space for them. And you don't need training. You don't need any kind of training to do that for people.
Just listening.
But just being held in that space, being listened to without judgment, and being able to, you know, have the person be free to talk about what's going on with them.
And do you respond?
Yes, absolutely. So usually with questions, you know, never with judgment.
Okay.
You know, my client sessions are completely confidential. So sometimes people share deeply personal things with me, and sometimes they just tell me about what's going on with them and their hopes and aspirations for healing or whatever it is that's going on with them.
Because our body is capable of healing everything, isn't it?
Yes. And I always say that all healing is self-healing. What I'm doing with a client, I'm not doing the healing. I'm setting up conditions in the, with this person's spirit and with their mind, with their consciousness, that will facilitate healing. But the person is doing the healing. So if you break your arm and you go to the hospital, they put a cast on. Now, the cast is not healing your bone. The cast is creating the conditions for your bone to heal itself. And that's the same way that I view all kinds of healing.
So interesting, John. I thank you so much for sharing this. And gosh, I would love to do something with you because I think it's so interesting. And it's that inner gut feeling, you know, your intuition that you are learning how to really listen to your body, right? Listen to your mind and get
that absolutely.
Inner wisdom from, I guess, your, you know, your the people that have already gone through this journey. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're all, in my viewpoint, we're all connected to source, and we're all connected through our ancestral lines for thousands of generations. And we, so we all have access to that wisdom. Sometimes we need a little help to unlock that, but we're all very, very wise.
I love it. I love it. John, how do my listeners find you? And I would love to have you back. This is so interesting for me.
Yeah, I'll come back anytime. Very easy. The best way to find all the various ways to contact me is through my website, which is maineshaman, MaineShaman.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. Please share our show with everyone and have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for the work.
Will do.
You're
thank
doing.
You so much.
All right, take care. All right, we are going to take a really quick break. And, of course, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Call in right now for comedy tickets. And, of course, 419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com. For WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans, Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I do want to invite you to our business mixers, and we have one coming up July 11th at 10 a.m., and that is a virtual mixer. And then our next one is August 1st, and that is 5 to 8 over at Manhattan of Camarillo. And if you are interested in registering, please reach out to us at 805-419-0008. And you can text us at that number and just put mixer. All right, my next guest, Melanie Dizelle. And we're going to be talking about her newest book, Prove It, Exactly How Modern Marketers Earn Trust. Of course, kind of the newest thing. You don't want to work with somebody unless you truly trust them.
And of course, we're going to find out a little bit more. You know, I'm all into business and marketing. And Melanie Dizelle, and I hope I said that right. Is that correct? Dizelle?
Diesel, yep.
Diesel. Okay, great. And her new book, Prove It. Melanie has been a marketer for a long time. And not only that, she's got some incredible ideas and great things that we're going to be sharing today. So again, let's bring Melanie on. Melanie, are you there?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about who you are, how you got started, and what your newest book is about, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So I am a storyteller through and through. I studied journalism and always imagined I'd end up in a newsroom somewhere, sort of, you know, all the president's men, Woodward and Bernstein. I thought I'd be wearing a fedora and uncovering injustice. And, you know, as we all know, the media environment has certainly changed over the last 10, 15, 20 years pretty dramatically. And what I found is that my skills as a journalist were actually more in demand in the marketing side of things when I was helping those who tell stories with a brand purpose in mind and teaching them some of the best practices around how we can create content that's trustworthy and how we can create content that's really meaningful and worthy of people's time and attention. And so for the last 10 years or so, I've been out on my own helping brands, helping marketers, working with sales professionals, really just trying to help them feel their most creative and create content that's going to work for their purposes and the goals of the brands that they represent.
I love it. And so basically what you're saying, Melanie, if I'm and which I totally believe, is people want to do business if you can prove it, that you can get them results, that you've made it in your industry. And so your book, Prove It, exactly how modern marketers earn trust, correct?
You've got it, exactly. What we found is that the environment that we're all living in is one of the most skeptical environments we've ever had to face. You know, all that same technology that revolutionized the way we connect with others has also made it more difficult than ever for us to know who's telling the truth. And, you know, it's given us more options than ever before, making it harder to discern who's going to be the best choice to, you know, get us the results we're looking for, or just take care of us if we're talking about a more relationship-based business, like maybe a realtor or a consultant of some kind. So the onus is really on us as marketers, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, to ensure that we're providing all of the evidence that proves to our audience that we are who we say we are, because there's a lot of folks out there who are not.
I love that. I love that. So what are some of the ways that, you know, if you are trying to get somebody's business and they're on the fence, and what are some of the ways that you can help them decide that you're the right person for the job?
Well, the only thing better than you saying nice things about yourself is other people saying nice things about you. And so the first thing you always want to think about is, how can I corroborate all the claims that I'm making? If I'm promising that I get these great results, or that, you know, my product or service is convenient, or, you know, is comparable to the other options out there, how can I make it so that my audience doesn't have to take my word for it, that they can hear from, you know, relevant experts, or, you know, past customers, anyone who can really back us up and make sure that our audience doesn't have to just take our word for it? That's going to go a long way toward helping the audience feel more safe in trusting the things we say, because we're not saying them alone.
Right. And of course, when somebody else talks about you, I mean, that's the biggest compliment you could ever have. So basically what you're saying is having testimonies, correct? Or having other people that have said, wow, I really worked with Melanie and she was just such an incredible, you know, help in what I did. And I would definitely be able to do it again. You know, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Testimonials are a really powerful tool when you can directly have someone who's saying nice things about you. The other thing you can do too is, if you are creating content, maybe you're making videos or blog posts, you can also look for other experts who can just weigh in and agree with you or share relevant information on that topic, even if that expert is not directly saying, you know, I worked with this person and I loved working with them. Even if they're just saying, hey, this is an important thing for you to be considering, and, you know, I highly recommend that you consider these topics before you make this type of buying decision, that still adds credibility to your case, because you are the one providing that helpful information and making it that much easier to say, wow, this person associates with experts. This person understands the industry. This person can, you know, connect with others. Yeah. So even just finding folks who can be a part of your content is a way for you to showcase your network and your ability to connect with other experts that they can trust.
And it really gives you leverage, is what you're doing. And it's building your trust as well as connecting you with somebody who might have more experience than you, but yet you're leveraging on their experience, correct?
Yes. And leveraging the trust that person may already have as an expert. You know, a lot of folks who are experts, you know, might look to authors or speakers, academic researchers and professors, you know, industry associations. You know, there's lots of different examples of the kind of people we can turn to outside of the typical sort of celebrity influencer approach. And what each of those people bring is an understanding that this person is trained, this person is experienced, this person knows what they're talking about. And so if they are agreeing with this brand I'm considering working with, or with this entrepreneur I'm going to do business with, then I can probably trust that this person is someone that I can place my trust in too, because this person I have an easier time trusting also places their trust in them.
I love that. I love that. And when you were just starting, is this your first book?
This is my second.
Your second book. What was your first book?
Yeah. My first book was The Content Fuel Framework, How to Generate Unlimited Story Ideas. Mm-hmm. And it was really teaching a process for how to come up with content. I think, you know, for most of us, if you're a small business owner, an entrepreneur, we didn't get into the business to market ourselves. We get into the business because we love doing the work. And we found ourselves having to market almost as a side quest to what it is that we do every day, what we're passionate about. And so I wanted to provide a system that was really approachable, really repeatable, that people could use to come up with ideas to populate their social channels, their blogs, and all the other places where they show up to communicate with their audience.
I love that, because when you can talk somebody's language, they're leaning in, correct?
Absolutely, they're leaning in. And the other thing that we find too is, you know, we are all bombarded with marketing and sales messages all day long. We see so many advertisements. We can often start to tune them out. And the advantage you have is when you're creating content, you know, making a video, doing a podcast like we're doing here, you know, creating content that our audience can consume instead of ignore, you're really increasing the chances that the audience is going to spend more time with you because you're providing something of value, not just something that benefits you. So content is really a great tool for audience building. It's a great tool for trust building. And it's a great way for you to showcase your expertise by creating more conversations with your audience.
Wow, I love that. And Melanie, when you're not writing, what is it that you actually do?
Really good question. I do spend an awful lot of time writing and reading. Most of what I do is centered around education. So I do a tremendous amount of speaking at conferences and running corporate workshops, really teaching a lot of these same best practices and skills to marketing and sales professionals of all different types in all different industries.
Very interesting. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You go into an industry because you're passionate about it, but no one ever told you that you have to learn how to market yourself either, right? And, you know, I mean, yeah. And so, I mean, what are some of the roles of like data and analytics and just, again, building trust with your audience? How do we stand out in such a populated social media?
It's really challenging, more so than ever before, not only because there are so many people with access to these tools, which is a wonderful thing, but also there's so many different tools. You know, it seems every few weeks there's a new social platform coming out and suddenly you feel the pressure to have to create a new type of content or content to live in a new place. So it can definitely be difficult to stand out. I think the most important thing for you to consider is, what does your audience need to hear from you in order to do business with you? What we don't want to do is content for content's sake, where you're posting about things that are not relevant to your business, not aligned with your strategy, just because you feel like you need to be there and you need to be vocal. What I'd much rather see you do is select a few strategic channels, don't try to be everywhere, and to focus on saying the things that are going to help you build that audience with your relationship, build that relationship with the audience, mm-hmm. build that connection and help them have that trust, so that you can convert more of them by being in fewer places rather than trying to be everything to everyone everywhere.
And what about really finding your avatar, your person that you personally can serve, instead of, like you said, being everything to everyone? You've basically thinned out your, you know, you're talking to everybody instead of just the people that you really know that you can help and serve, correct?
I love this, and I love to talk about it as an analogy because I think it helps take us out of our marketer mind for a minute, where we're inclined to start almost making things up, right? We're trying to create a strategy, we're trying to use the buzzwords, but think about your favorite restaurant. My guess is it's not a buffet, because buffets have a little bit of everything for everyone. My guess is that your favorite restaurant, the place you go to celebrate an anniversary or a promotion, or the place you take out-of-town visitors, it's a specialty place. It's a place that is really good at one thing. They're great at Italian. They're great at sushi. They make the best pizza in your town, right? And it's because of that specialization that you are able to build a special relationship with them. You know what to go to them for. So we kind of want to take that same approach when we're figuring out what we're going to talk about and how we're going to stand out to our audience, rather than trying to be a little bit of everything for everyone and wind up being nobody's favorite. Let's figure out what it is that we are incredible at, really lean into that, and have people see us as the go-to person for a specific type of thing.
I love that. And so, in your opinion, what are some of the emerging trends in marketing that have the potential to impact how brands build trust and with their audience?
I think it would be, I would be remiss if I did not talk about the rise of artificial intelligence tools that are increasingly making it really difficult to trust the things that we see. You know, there was a time when a photo, if we saw it, you know, 30, 40 years ago, if we saw a photo, we knew that it happened just like that. There was no editing, right? Along came Photoshop and made things a little more difficult. But now we have these tools that can create very convincing at times, very lifelike photos, video, writing. It makes it much more difficult for us to know what we can trust, what's real and what's not. And so as that technology continues to sort of infiltrate the way we do business in all different ways, it's going to be increasingly important that you focus on providing proof of all of your claims and showing behind the scenes so that people can really understand that when they see something from you, that they can trust it, that when you put forth content into the world, it's true and it's real and it's trustworthy.
I love that. And basically, like for me, when I'm working with somebody to help them make their signature interview, their signature, you know, blog, their signature. So people go, oh, that's Kim or that's Melanie. That's and right. That, yeah, because you're absolutely right. There are so many, and I think it's incredible AI, but it's scary because you could, yeah. You know, I mean, it sounds exactly like you, but it's not you and it's not your flair and it's not your authenticity. So I love that, you know, you talked about that. And finally, I want to ask you really, what advice would you give to the marketers who are just starting out and looking to build trust with their audience? What are like three things that you can leave us with?
Sure. The first thing you want to do is take a look at your messaging, whatever that looks like for you, your website, your product packaging, your blog or social media. Take a look at all of that and figure out what is the most important claim that your audience needs to believe in order to do business with you. Once you know that, the most important claim, what is it that you're saying that you're going to help them do or achieve or you're going to create for them? Then I would turn around and say, how can I prove to my audience that they can believe that particular claim? There's lots of content you could create. There's lots of holidays you could acknowledge, lots of different platforms you can spend time on. But what you want to make sure is that at the very core of all the content you're creating are those two key questions. What is it that I need my audience to believe in order to do business with me? And how can I prove that that's something they can trust that will come from me?
I like that. Very cool. Very cool. So again, how do you find that? Like, you know, everybody's doing what they love in business, but sometimes they get scattered and they don't have their messaging down. That's something I work with, you know, with my clients that are coming on the show, that they're talking about different topics and each business has different topics, but you want to be able to hone in on what your listeners want or your business, the people that want to do business, what they're looking for. How do you do that?
You know, the easiest way I've found to do this, and there's lots of technologies out there, lots of tools available, but the easiest way I've found to do this is to really have conversations with your audience. And it seems so silly and so analog in this day of, you know, all the technology we have and the analytics and the tracking and all of that. But truly, those conversations with customers, with prospects, with people who fit your target market, that's going to be where you learn what's important to them. What are the key questions they have when they're in the market for a product or service like yours? Mm. What are the things that they're wondering about? What are the misconceptions they have? What are, you know, the most important buying signals for them or the most important considerations as they weigh their options? Those can come from research. They can come from tools. But I have found that the best way to get those is straight from the horse's mouth by having those conversations with current, former, or potential clients to really hear it firsthand.
I love that. I mean, really ask them, what are you expecting to work with me? What kind of results do you want from me? And really just, can you do it or can you not, right? I mean, you know, yeah. You want to win and each business wants to achieve what they can do. So I love that. Melanie, First of all, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Where do we find your book?
Yeah, you can find Prove It at Barnes & Noble or wherever you buy books online, including the big ones like Amazon. It's also available as an audio book. If you feel like listening to me talk for a couple more hours, you're welcome to do it. And you can also check out melaniediesel.com and find all the information you need there about the different places you can buy the book and how else we might be able to work together or continue learning together.
I love it. Melanie Diesel, thank you again for being a guest here. And I can't wait to, for all our listeners to pick up their book. So again, thank you again.
Thanks for letting me share my story.
Welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I know a lot of you have been hearing me talk about pickleball. And a lot of people have their own personal pickleball, like one of my neighbors that we just went to a pickleball court party. And today, joining me, we're going to really talk about nutrition and how to actually fuel up on and off the pickleball court. So I'm excited. If you are a pickleball player, it's so fun because anybody could do it. It's not as hard as you think. So send me a text at 805-419-0008 and just say pickleball. And so then I know who my pickleball players are out there. But of course, joining me is registered dietitian Dawn Jackson-Blattner. And she's going to talk to us about really some, of course, another one of my favorite cooking and winning recipes. And Dawn, are you there?
Oh my goodness. Yes. And you are right. Pickleball is sweeping the nation. I mean, it is exciting. And I think what you said is so true. It's like, what is all this hubbub about with pickleball? And it really, it's easy to learn and play. So no matter really your age or your fitness level, you can learn this. It's also a great workout. You know, it builds some coordination and agility. And I think why I love it and why so many people are really loving it is it's so social. Like you said, you were over at somebody's house. It's pickleball games and tournaments, and it brings people together. So it's really, quite fun. Plus all these courts are popping up everywhere. So it's easier to, actually play.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, what's so fun is when they go, don't dive for the ball. I'm like, does that mean I'm old or you don't want me to get hurt? Which one is it? But yes, you're absolutely right. And so I love this. So I didn't realize that there is maybe even a science to really getting, your fuel. And really with any sport, you got to, I try to walk every day, all those things. You want to stay totally dehydrated. And what else can we do? So let's talk.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know what? This really is my life. I am a dietitian for sports and performance. So it's basically at any level, we need to be well-fed and well-fueled and well-hydrated to perform our best. And actually for me, it's to have the best time so that you have energy to have fun, And so I created two recipes recently that are really in honor of pickleball, but it could be any sport this summer. The first one is scrambled oats. This is just three ingredients. Listen to this. It's a ripe banana, rolled oats, and eggs. That's it. You mix them together and then you put it in a skillet. Okay. These eggs, rolled oats, and banana, and you scramble it sort of like eggs, right? So you're scrambling it and out comes soft batch granola. That's what it ends up tasting like with just those three ingredients. And you can serve that on Greek yogurt with some berries. It is a crowd pleaser. I love that. And it's a great fuel. It's a great fuel.
Okay, yeah. That I could already taste right now. Thank you.
Yes.
So much.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So the scrambled oats, that's a winner. That's a winner. The other one I did is a dill pickle egg salad. So you obviously get it, right? Pickleball, pickle egg salad. But, pickles in things is all the rage now. You can see every food has like pickle flavor X, Y, and Z, but what I love about this pickle egg salad is that you could make it and it stays 3 days in the fridge so that when you're running to and from the pickleball court or whatever sport you're in, you can have that energizing snack. And both the scrambled oats and my dill pickle egg salad both feature and have in there Eggland's Best Eggs. And that's because they have 6 times more vitamin D. They have 25% 10% less saturated fat, more than double the omega-3s in B12, which is important for sports, and all that more compared to ordinary eggs. So to me, it's just such an easy swap to get more nutrition in all your recipes.
Okay, so Dawn, how can one egg be different than another? Okay, I really want to know that.
Yes, it is. Inquiring minds are always wanting to know. They're saying, like, what are you talking? How is there six times more vitamin D? How is there more, you know, than double the omega-3s in B12? Like, what's this? It's all about what the hens eat. So the hen's diet actually changes the nutrition composition of the eggs. So with Eggland's Best eggs, they are fed this very high quality vegetarian food that ends up with these eggs that are more nutritious compared to ordinary eggs.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, what we eat is what we are, right? I mean, that really just totally makes sense. So I love that. Okay, cool. So I know that you actually even have some, the art of the game, easy ways to stay active. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, of course I'm really pushing those two recipes because I am so proud of them and they are so delicious, but you know, there are other things to consider and you alluded to it. Hydration is key. So once you get the fueling done, it's like, okay, what are you doing to fuel, to, you know, hydrate after that fuel? And so hydration, everybody knows, right? Water is important. Like you need water. But on those super hot, sweaty days, I really like people to bring a coconut water with a pinch of salt in there because that helps replace the electrolytes you're losing when you sweat. So I say double fist it on those pickleball courts or whatever you're doing this summer. One, you know, hand has your water and the other is coconut water with that pinch of salt for the electrolytes.
Wow. You know what? I just went to this restaurant last night and oh my God, they had lemonade with coconut milk. Ever had it?
It's oh my gosh. You know what? I feel like I have seen that on like TikTok or Instagram and it sounds very refreshing, but that's very
refreshing. Yeah.
Actually, I love that idea that you just said. So, you know, I'm saying coconut water with a pinch of sea salt. If you squeeze a lemon in that, it actually is lemonade flavored coconut water. It tastes delicious. And what's a value of that is no added sugar. So coconut water has no added sugar. You add that pinch of sea salt, you add the fresh lemon and you have an electrolyte lemonade that you can take with you for pickleball and beyond, even a hot day at the pool. So I love that idea.
I love it. And really quick, I think people fall short because they don't have the ingredients that they need to make something really quick. And then they end up eating processed food or they end up eating something else. Preparation is everything. And so talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know what? I say you're only as healthy as your last trip to the grocery store. So I just like to write out, you know, a couple of breakfasts, a few dinners, and then shop for that stuff and have it on hand. And it doesn't have to be you have to eat something different every second of every day. It's, I call it delicious repeat, where you're eating foods that you love, but you're sort of having them on repeat. So if you end up loving the scrambled oats, you make them, you know, several days during the week so that it becomes, you know, very easy. And, you know, what I've been loving about Eggland's Best is that they really are breaking into pickleball like you and I are because they are the official partners of the Kitch and the Association of Pickleball Player Tour. And they're bringing all sorts of egg-centric food to the sport. And part of, you know, your question reminds me that they have this awesome sweepstakes coming up. You know, food prices are on the rise, as we all know. And so their EB Serves Up Summer Sweepstakes has a chance to win a grand prize of $5,000, which you can put, you know, toward good nutrition or fitness or really whatever. There's also like winning a VIP pickleball experience. There's all sorts of exclusive pickleball gear. And this sweepstakes they have, the Serves Up Summer Sweepstakes, is happening now through July 16th.
Okay. And how do my listeners sign up and find out about it?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. Most important thing is those recipes we talked about and this awesome sweepstakes is all at ebfamilysweeps.com.
I love it. Again, Dawn, love your passion and love that you're helping so many people get healthy and stay active. That's what it's all about. You know, as we need to work on ourselves as well as working on other people. So I love it. Again, dietitian for the world champion Chicago Cubs, right? And of course, Dawn Jackson Blattner. Did I say your last name right? Is that correct?
So perfectly. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Please share our show and let's connect on social. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Again, I'd love to have you at our mixers and be a part of that. All you have to do is text us at 805-419-0008. We've got our first virtual mixer on July 11th at 10 a.m. Love you to be a part of that, to display your business and tell a little bit about yourself. And also our in-person mixer is August 1st, and that is 5 to 8 p.m. So we'd love to have you in the room. Of course, I end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Keep your face always towards the sunshine, and the shadows will fall behind you. With that, have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me